Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
We're going to begin with verse number 3, Matthew chapter 14, verse number 3. We're given a story in this 14th chapter concerning Herod and John the Baptist. Scripture tells us that Herod had laid hold on John, bound him, put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. John said unto him, "It's not lawful for thee to have her." And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. She, being instructed of her mother, said, "Give here John Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And the disciples came, the disciples of John, and they took up the body, they buried it. And then I want you to notice the last five words: and went and told Jesus. They took the body of John, they buried it, and went and told Jesus. My subject for this morning: tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Would you ask the Lord to help us now? Lord, I need your help. God, in the next few moments, Lord, to speak the words of life here today. Dear God, your word is always powerful, God. And we're asking you today that you would allow it to find a place in our heart, to be that engrafted word in our spirit and in our soul. We're asking you, God, that we would receive it today by faith. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Would you lift your voice with me, and would you bring your hands up before the Lord, and would you just magnify Him across the building, making a joyful noise of praise unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we do that unto the Lord joyfully, cheerfully, with a glad heart, merry spirit? Praise God, 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 praise God. Before you're seated, turn to someone, shake their hand. If it's where you can, tell them, tell it to Jesus. You may be seated. God bless you. There are some lives that we look at, and as we observe those lives, we would tend to think that everything is perfect in their life. We see the evidence of not only physical blessings, but we see evidence of spiritual blessings. The hand of God upon an individual. There's something remarkable about looking at an individual. You can see, you can notice that indeed whatever's taking place in their life is more than just physical and secular success, but that it is the hand of God upon their life. Some of those that we observe may be a little more noticeable than others because of particular events that have transpired. John the Baptist in Scripture was one of those lives that if you just looked at it, at least from the surface, you would say the hand of God was upon John the Baptist. If you would look at his remarkable birth and then trace it back to its roots in the Old Testament and would see the prophecies that were given concerning John the Baptist, that this one would be the forerunner of the Messiah and that he would herald, "Behold your God," and he would introduce the Savior to the world. What a wonderful prophecy to be laid upon an individual. And then to see in the New Testament his father in the temple and his priestly duties, as he had no doubt done many times before, goes into the temple with his censer and he waves it before God. And in that moment of doing what he has always done before, what he has always participated in, the method and the mannerism in which that he put the incense into the censer and he stretched it out before the Lord and he waved it. He's done this many times before, but on this occasion an angel appears unto Zechariah and tells him that you're going to be a father. Now, may I pause on this Sunday morning to say that there is great help that we can achieve if we will just keep doing what we know to do until somewhere an answer comes. Well, I've just kept lifting my hands. Just keep lifting your hands. And I've lifted my voice. Well, just keep lifting your voice. Well, I've done this and done this, but you never know on one occasion that the answer just might come. And for Zechariah on that day, the answer came and told him, you're going to be a father and that you're going to have a son in your old age. What a remarkable moment. And Zechariah is trying to process all of this, and he speaks and says, you know, it seems rather impossible for that to happen. And the angel says, you're not going to speak again until this child is born. And sure enough, that child was born and they named him John, and the hand of God was upon John, and he does fulfill those prophecies of the Old Testament, and he is that voice crying in the wilderness saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And multitudes flocked after him. And then he had his critics that appeared at the river and would chastise him. And the verbal abuse now that begins. And you would think a life that was so ordained of God, a life that was so wrapped in the shroud of prophecy, would be a life that was in. And yet John experiences all of those voices of opposition and those voices of criticism. And in particular, when he challenges Herod for taking his brother's wife and condemns him for it, it brings a rather sharp accusation and sharp punishment upon John. And it's John in the midst of all of this that lifts his voice on that great occasion in John chapter 1 when he sees Jesus and he announced to the crowd, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And in that moment he seals both his prophetic moorings, and he seals the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. And it all just seems to merge together in a moment. And then to seem to highlight all of this, he is now imprisoned by Herod, placed in a dungeon because of his message that he has preached concerning his brother's wife. And it seems to be so unfair that John, who has such a prophetic touch, John, who has made such a bold proclamation concerning Christ. John, who has been used so mightily of God to announce the kingdom of heaven. John, who has spoken so forcefully to a nation trying to bring them to repentance. It seems so unfair that John now finds himself in a jail cell. May I say to you today that unfairness in life does not negate the hand of God upon us. Unfairness in our life and injustices does not negate our roots and where we come from and the hand of God upon our life. We would like to think that unfairness somehow or another cancels anything that God had spoken concerning us or done in us, but unfairness does not by any means cancel out God's prophecy and God's word and God's hand. Sometimes I just have to claim those prophetic utterances and that hand in the midst of my unfairness and in the midst of the injustice of life. And John now finds himself in this prison cell, and surely while he's sitting there, his mind is trying to process all of the unfairness and the injustice, and whatever exclamations he had, whatever voice that he had given that said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," it seems to bow itself, and now there are questions that come, and there is certain things that he's pondering, and he wants to know, are you the Christ, or should we look for another? Can I tell you that our doubts and our fears can become a stronger prison to us than our physical circumstances that are around us? Our doubts, our questions, those things that we ponder that would seek to undermine the proclamations we've made, the confessions we've made, can oftentimes be a stronger prison cell than our natural surroundings. And so John finds himself not just in a natural prison, but he finds himself in a spiritual condition where questions are prevailing. Now, this is what you and I have to deal with, is when we come to this moment in the reality of life, and we come to this moment where we're dealing with all of the circumstances that are now caving in upon us, seemingly canceling out all blessings and canceling out all of the prophecy and the hand of God and the times God has used us and the times God has blessed us. What we do in that moment is vital and significant to our outcome. How we handle those questions and how we handle those fears is a determining factor in our life. We can sit and mull them over in our mind until it erodes our faith and it robs our confidence and it causes us to be filled with all manner of emotions on our insides until suddenly we find ourselves separated from the presence of God. But John says, when you have questions, you need to go to the one that's got the answer. When you have questions, you need to go find out from the one that knows how to solve all problems. If you got questions, you don't need to look to some secular means of providing the answer. And you don't need to go find somebody else to give you a little insight into the matter. You need to go to the one who has all wisdom and knowledge and power and ability. Now, I think for the most part, you and I have a great deal of problem in all of that, because we try to seek out voices in our life that will speak into our life. There you go. That's kind of a popular little phrase that we have today. Somebody that speaks into my life. I need somebody to speak into my life. Well, can I just say to you that that is an area that is well and good, but what I need is to talk to Jesus about some of my problems and my difficulties, and I need Him to speak into my life, because the only one that can handle my questions and handle my fears and handle my unbelief and handle the conditions of my circumstances Jesus is Him and Him alone. So John is pointing direction here. When you're sitting in your prison and you feel it is, it's not just, and you feel it's cruel, and you feel that you're here wrongly, and you're here in a manner that you should not be here, he said, I tell you what you do is you lift your voice and you ask Jesus concerning the issue. Can I tell you, Brother Sean already mentioned it this morning, but when you're in prison, there's two things you got to learn to do. You got to learn to ask Jesus, and you got to learn to sing. And if I can do those two things in my cell, I can find a way out of my conditions and my environments. You just got to learn to ask Jesus and sing while I'm there. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord for just a moment now. So he calls his disciples in Matthew chapter 11. He calls his disciples. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You just never know what's going to happen to sound systems, do you? Just all kinds of stuff happens. Somebody's knocking at the door. Somebody's knocking, you're supposed to answer. And John takes his disciples in Matthew chapter 11. And he goes and he sends them to the Lord. And he says, are you Him? Or should we look for another? I need some proof here. I need my faith confirmed. It's not necessarily that his faith was wavering, but he just needed a little confirmation in the moment that he was in. Are you He, or should we look for another? And Jesus sends word back to John and says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 4, he says, go show John again. I've showed him before, but go show John again. Aren't you glad that God is patient with my questions? Come on now. Aren't you glad that God is patient with our questions? Go show John again. He's had this question evidently before. He's had this little query before. He's pondered this at other times, but I want to reconfirm to him, because as long as you're asking Jesus the question, he'll keep giving you the answer until it changes our circumstance. Go show John again the things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. He says, you know, John, you may be confined, but I'm not confined. You may be in a bad place, but I am still able to work miracles. Can I tell you, the Word of God is never bound. You might be in a place that's uncomfortable to you right now, but God's Word is never bound. It's always available to work in our lives. And so John sits in his prison, and while he sits there, he's dealing with all of the injustices and the fears and all of the conditions that are prevailing there in the environment that he's in. John's life is not spared. Herodias has got it out for him. She's determined, because that his message has brought shame and has confronted her, that John's got to die. And her daughter dances before Herod, and Herod's pleased, and he says, what can I do? And Mama said, get the head of John the Baptist. And Herod says, you know, I can't go back on my word, so I'm going to take his head. And he does. He takes John the Baptist's head, and it looks like a very bad situation. It comes to a conclusion. John's ministry is cut short. His time, his moment that he's supposed to be serving is cut so short. And now the disciples come and they pick up John the Baptist's body, and Scripture says they go and bury the body. Now think with me for just a moment. This man has been these disciples' fearless leader. He has instilled into them the hope and the faith of the kingdom of God. He's been their mentor. They could have easily have felt the same kind of hatred and emotions that John could have felt. They could have become very angry at the establishment and at Herod. They could have lived in their own emotional prison, but instead they bring the news to Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 12, Scripture just simply says the disciples came and they took up the body, they buried it, and they went and told Jesus. They said, you know what? The only one that can handle this moment is Jesus. And John taught us well. When you have questions and you have fears, go ask Jesus. Go pour your heart out. So we're going to do what John did. We're just going to go pour it out before the Lord. Can I preach to somebody on this Sunday morning that whatever fears, whatever apprehensions, whatever difficulties, whatever conditions that may be prevailing, there's only one source of help, and that's the throne room of God. That go before Him and tell Him, God, here it is. It was taken prematurely. It shouldn't have happened this way. It was done unjustly. But I'm emptying it at the throne room of God. And God will hear. And God will respond in the moment. Does anybody remember that old song? We used to sing it a lot. It says, are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Are you grieving over sorrows departed? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He's a friend that's well known. You have a friend, or you have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus. Oh, the best place to go with life's problems, life's difficulties, life's heaviness is to take it to the throne room of the Lord and just tell it to Jesus. Would somebody lift your hand to the Lord right now and just tell it to Him? God, I tell it to you today. I tell it to you today. I tell it to you today. Praise God. Mark chapter 6, verse number 30 says that the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. And it says they told Him all things. Told Him all things. He said they poured their heart out before the Lord and they told Him all things. I cannot reserve anything. I cannot hold anything back. God already knows everything anyway. Come on. Come on, does not God know everything? Come on, doesn't He already see everything? He already knows all of the hurts, the pains, the suffering. He already knows all the stuff that's inside our heart and our mind. He already knows all of that. And they told Him all things. And so sometimes when I come to Jesus, I've just got to empty. I've just got to pour it. Just got to dump it out before the Lord. Like pouring a glass of water. I can't be careful. Just let it pour out. Because He already knows it anyway. And as I pour it, He's able to bring the salve and the healing. He's able to bring the help that's necessary and needed in the situation. If I'll simply tell Him all things. Notice what the disciples does in Scripture. The Bible tells us that they told the Lord of their dangers. They asked of the Lord questions. They told of the Lord their difficulties. They brought to the Lord their needs. They came to God with their failures. They brought to Him their family troubles. They came to the Lord with their victories. They brought to Him their disappointments. They came to the Lord with those things that they were bereaved of. And they told the Lord all things. Just simply nudge your neighbor and tell him, tell it to Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Just tell it to Jesus. Would somebody lift your hand to him right now? And would you pour it out? Would you just lift it to him now? And would you simply pour it out? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I tell it to you now, Lord. I pour it out. I tell you of my pain. I tell you of my hurt. I tell you of my suffering. I tell you of my shame. I tell you of my confusion. I tell you of my frustration. I tell you of all of these things. I pour it out unto you. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse number 24 says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. It shall come to pass before you say it. God's already got the answer. He already knows what to do. He already knows how he's going to handle it. He already knows how he's going to take care of it. But he's got to have us to come to him and begin to pour it out, because in my pouring it out, I'm expressing my faith. I'm expressing my trust. I'm expressing my confidence. And then as I pray and I pour it out and I express my faith and my trust, the answer he's already got prepared is released into my situation. Can I tell you today that God is ready right now to answer? He's just waiting on a voice from us. I said, God's already got the answer. He already knows how to open the sea. He already knows how to provide the resources. He already knows how he's going to bring in all of the things I need for my body and for my home and my life. He just needs me to put the key in the door and ask of him. And if I'll ask of him, he will provide the answer that he's already got planned for our lives. Does anybody believe God's already got an answer provided? Come on now. Does anybody believe God's already got an answer provided? Would somebody lift your hand to him now and ask for that answer to be released? Hallelujah. I need that answer released. I got to have that answer released. See, have you ever got things that just kind of knocked your feet out from underneath you? Maybe it was a letter. Maybe it was some news or something. And you get it, and it has this sudden effect that this is doomsday. Has anybody ever got doomsday news? Can anybody relate with the feeling of your heart sinking? Don't look at me like angels. Come on now. Anybody, your heart. Anybody over here, is your heart ever sink? I'm not talking about being broken by girlfriends. I'm talking about your heart sinking. That news. Yeah, no. Your heart ever sunk? You heard something, and the first response, okay? Now, probably somewhere here is some real spiritual folks that your first response is, God's going to take care of this. But I have to admit, that's not always my first response. In fact, I have to admit that on a good portion of occasions, it's not my first response. Can I get a little agreement? Take your right hand, put it behind your head, and kind of push your head like that. There you go. Sometimes your head needs a little help. Okay. My heart just sinks. And instead of trusting what I know, and what has been confirmed to me and what I have seen over and over and over again. Has anybody here got a record of the answers of God? Anybody got a record? Anybody got a few? Yeah, y'all making this tough on me. You're making it real hard. Just nudge your neighbor and say he needs a little help right now. Come on now. You get this moment where you forget the record of God. You forget what you know God has done. And one event, just one event, one little event. I'm sorry, didn't mean to offend you. One big event. One big event. One great event. Just causes our feet to be knocked out from underneath us and our heart to drop. And we panic. We have this moment where we just panic. And we know for certain that it is through. It's over. There's no hope. There's no way out of it at all. Hezekiah in Scripture got one of those moments. A letter that came to him from a foreign king that said, "We're fixing to wipe you out. We're going to wipe your nation off the map. We're going to tear your walls down. We're going to tear down your temple. We're going to destroy everything you got. We're going to absolutely ruin you and wreck you. We're going to leave this place nothing but rubble. And we got a few records on our side because there's a whole lot of nations we've already destroyed. And there's been no God that's ever been able to deliver any nation out of our hand. And there's not going to be any God that's going to deliver you out of our hand." And he got the letter. And when he got the letter, he did what some of us need to learn to do. Well, how we need to learn how to handle our problems. He just got the letter and he took it to the Lord and he spread the letter out before God. Now, it was not that God did not know already what was in the letter. God already knew what was in the letter. In fact, he had been looking over the king's shoulder when the letter was written. He already knew what was there. But when Hezekiah took that letter and he spread it out before God and he said, "Now God, you read it. You see what is here. You see the threats. You see this enemy that's assaulting us, coming against our faith. And we don't know what to do. And we don't know which way to turn." When he took the letter before the Lord and he laid it before God, it was there in that moment of time that the Lord said, "I've already got an answer. I've already got a provision. I was just waiting for you to bring it in and stretch it out before the Lord and lay it on the altar." I wonder what would happen if somebody collects your Wendell envelope and just stretch them out before the Lord. I wonder what would happen if some of us took some of those decrees and declarations and just brought them in and laid them out before God and said, "Now God, here it is. Here's the contents. I don't know which way to go and I don't know which way to turn, but I'm simply pouring it out unto you. I'm telling it to Jesus." Now, you may not have the physical letter in your hand right now, but would you just in imagination lift your hand to the Lord and would you take that item and say, "Now God, here it is. I'm stretching it out before you now. I'm telling you, here it is. I refuse to panic. I refuse to panic. I refuse for my heart to sink. I'm stretching it out before you." Tell it. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, "Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus." You know what I don't tell him about can become poison to me. What I don't pour out, what I don't empty, can become a contamination to me. Thorns that are not taken to the throne can end up poisoning our lives. I have to take those thorny issues. And I have to tell it to Jesus. If I don't take the thorny issue and tell it, that thorn, no matter how small it is, no matter how small it is, it'll create. I was helping Brother Derek in Chickasha build his platform, and I got a splinter. We was trying to reuse some lumber, and I got a splinter in my hand, and I'm still not for sure I got it out. It wants to swell up every now and then. I think something is still there. Got a little bump, and every once in a while it gets a little tender and a little sore. I think there must be a little something. I've dug around in there and taken a needle and dug in there trying to clear it out. But it must be something still there, because it keeps this little bump, and every once in a while it gets a little sore there. So it must be something that is still there. Now, that's probably not life-threatening. I'm not going to keel over tomorrow as a result of it. But the problem is that if I don't take my thorns to the throne of God, they just kind of set in my spirit and set in my heart, and they soon fester and they become poison that will ultimately kill me. And so I've got to learn how to take those things that kind of needle me. I've got to learn how to take those things that kind of prick me and will poke at me. And I can't ignore it. I can't decide, well, you know, it's just a little thing, and it's really of no consequences, and I'm not going to let it bother me. I mean, I can go on with life. I can go on and handle it. I can work. We broke up concrete here last week and used a sledgehammer. That hand worked quite fine. It didn't impede anything, although it is a little tender at times, but I can still do. And some of us have learned to get by with our thorns. We've learned to cope. We've learned to live. We've learned to function. We've learned to move on through life with those little needles and those little pricks in our heart. And Paul said, you know what? I got a thorn in my flesh. I got something here. I don't quite know why I got it. I don't understand what's going on, but I cannot just leave it here. I cannot just let it stay here. And so Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that Paul took that thorn to the Lord and to the throne of God. He took it there three times. He said, now God, I'm coming there. I got this issue. I got this problem. I don't know what his thorn was. You can have all the surmising you want. You can't prove anything. I don't know what it is. Paul finally comes to the conclusion that it's from Satan to humble him because of the revelations that he'd received. Whatever affliction that it created in his body, he said, I'm taking it to the Lord, and I'm going to pour it out before the throne room of God, because if I leave this thing here, it's going to cause distance between me and God, and it's going to cause a little problem. So you know what I think we need to do? We need to take the little thorns in our life that are pricking at us and pushing at us and shoving at our spirit, and we need to take them to the throne until we finally get an answer from heaven that says, God, I need a little intervention in this. I need you to take care of my problem. I need you to take care of my difficulty. I cannot handle this on my own. And the Lord comes back to Paul and he says, hey, Paul, I want you to know, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, my grace is sufficient. Now, here it is. When you tell it to Jesus, now watch, when you tell it to Jesus, he don't always remove the issue, but he wraps it in his grace so it no longer creates the pain and the suffering and the problem. There's some things God will never take out of our life, but he will wrap in the grace of God. And when it's wrapped in the grace of God, it no longer is an issue, because I know God has handled it. Oh, somebody ought to tell it to Jesus. Because I gotta have some issues wrapped in grace. I gotta have some issues wrapped in grace. I gotta have some pains wrapped in grace. I gotta have some things that are happening in my life. I need to have them covered by the grace of Almighty God. I need somehow or another that grace to bring strength and pardon and deliverance to our heart. Now notice, John's dead. Somebody say he's dead. He's dead. He didn't come back to life. He's been beheaded. The disciples have buried him. And they've went and told Jesus. It never changed the graveyard. John never came out. But now the disciples can bear the burden. And they can bear the pain and the loss. Because Jesus now has done this work inside their heart and has covered it. Some situations will never change. I'll sit down for a moment and let you absorb that. Because you want everything to change with prayer. Some situations never change. But the grace of God, the grace of God helps us in that moment. And I tell it to Him. And He says, let me bathe that now in my grace. Let me cover it in my grace. So you can go on with life and you can go on with the issues and you can put it all behind you now because the grace of God. You know what we need today? We need a bathe of the grace of the Lord. Just to come into this place, would somebody just lift your hand to the heaven now? Would you tilt your face toward the Lord? And would you just begin to talk to Him for just a moment? Would you just begin to pour it out before the Lord now? Would you just empty it before God? Right where you're sitting, right where you're at. Just begin to pour it out now. There's a mama here. There's a daddy across this building on this Sunday morning. You just need to tell it to Jesus. There's somebody in this sanctuary right now, a young man, a young lady. There's someone in this auditorium right now. You got a thorn and you need to get it to the throne. And you just need to take it to the Lord now. And would you let Him wrap His grace around it? Would you let Him cover it with His grace? Would you let Him wrap it up with that salve of the Holy Ghost? Quit trying to carry it all by yourself and just take it to the Lord and tell it to Him and pour it out before the Lord. Would you stand with me now across this building and would you just begin to talk to Him now all over this building? Would there just be a sound of prayer that would go out across this building? Would you tell Him now? I want a daddy to lift your voice and just talk to Him from your heart. I want a mama now just to tell Him, God, You know where I'm at. You know my pain. You know my suffering. You know my hurt. You know all the stuff that's going on inside of me right now, God. You know all the things that are transpiring. And God, I need Your help. I need Your help. I'm just going to tell it to You, Lord. Come on, do the tears. The tears flow down your cheeks. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it. Tell it to Jesus.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. And we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.